The Senate will be in order. Chair recognizes Senator from Johnson, Senator Walz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Democrats will caucus in room 24.
The Senate will stand at ease for a Democratic caucus. Senate will be in order. Chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitver.
Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I call up Senate File 2372, which was previously deferred. With Senator Dawson.
The senator from Polk, Senator Whitver, calls up Senate File 2372, which was temporarily deferred. When we went to deferral, we were on amendments. The chair calls up the following amendments, Amendment 5076 and Amendment 5078. Chair recognizes the senator from Pottawatomie, Senator Dawson, for opening remarks on Amendment 5076.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would withdraw this amendment.
Amendment 5076 is withdrawn. Chair recognizes the senator from Pottawatomie, Senator Dawson, for opening remarks on Amendment 5078.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues of the Senate. This amendment continues some of the work on the initial bill there. We have to update definitions related to the streamlined sales tax use agreement. We delay out the computer peripherals for 1 year, as well as when we amended this bill in committee, we actually end up cutting out too much of the net operating loss provision inadvertently, so we're trying to put back in what we cut out too much of. That concludes my opening comments.
Is there further discussion on Amendment 5078? Seeing none, Chair recognizes the senator from Pottawatomie, Senator Dawson, for final remarks on Amendment 5078.
Would move the amendment.
The senator from Pottawatomie moves the adoption of Senate Amendment 5078 to Senate File 2372. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion prevails. We're now back on Senate File 2372 as amended. Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dawson, I want to thank you for including period products and diapers, both for infants and adults, in this bill. And for the attention of the body, I just want to call your attention to a couple of things. First off, adult diapers and children's diapers, right now we're getting in about roughly 10.
Excuse me, Senator. It's just getting a little loud in here. Apologize for the interruption. If there's conversations that need to be had, please take them outside of the chamber. Senator Peterson, you're back in order.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. As I was mentioning, diapers, the amount of tax revenue that the state has been pulling in for diapers for both adults and children is roughly $10 million. And if you step back and you look at that amount of money and you think, how much money are Iowans actually spending on the product? For diapers, it's $142.9 million, roughly, if I've done my math right. Period products, $28.6 million. And, you know, when I added adult diapers to my original legislation, it was based on a local doctor who I had told that I was working on the sales tax bill, and she said, you really should include adult diapers, adult incontinence products, because it is a huge expense for thousands of Iowans. And I think we need to look a little bit more closely at this issue, and I'm sad that one of my bills did not get brought up for a subcommittee this year, and that was Senate File 2069, because one of the things that healthcare providers are finding out there is that many of the treatments for people are not covered by health insurance, and they could lead much better lives not having to worry about using incontinence products if insurance would cover things. For instance, Senator Dawson, I know Josie Gittler has become a good friend of you and Senator Bisignano for her work that she does for guardianships and conservatorships. And one of the cases that she brought forward was a woman who had suffered from temporary dementia from having a urinary infection, which could have been covered fixed by medication that insurance doesn't cover. And I believe in that case, and I gotta look back in my records, but I believe under that temporary dementia, she may have lost her farm. So we may have to track back on that. But things like covering urinary infections is the number one cause for women over 65 to be hospitalized. We should be providing insurance coverage for issues, and instead, Iowans are paying out of their pockets $142.9 million a year. This will save them roughly $10 million, so I really appreciate you bringing that forward. The other thing I'd like to mention, too, is we had a couple other bills, Senate File 2020 and Senate File 2004, that would also deal with health care for Iowans who menstruate. We still do not provide products in public restrooms. We provide toilet paper and soap, but we don't provide period products. And I think that's unfortunate. If we want to be a state that understands that thousands of Iowans menstruate every day and they should have access to products in the bathrooms, including here in the Senate chamber, the Senate office spaces, and the capitals. So as you're working on your budget, I hope you will consider making Iowa a more period-friendly state. But this is a good step in the right direction, and Senator Dawson, I thank you very much. And I know thousands of Iowans will thank you for putting that in the bill.
Chair recognizes the senator from Johnson, Senator Walz.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I rise today in opposition to Senate File 2372. As Senator Peterson just mentioned, there are several strong provisions of this legislation, and I want to thank Senator Dawson for his work to include several of those provisions, including the work specifically on period products, specifically for child and adult diapers. We know that these are critically important products. The Iowans who depend on these products count on having these available at an affordable cost, and I do think that this bill will move the ball forward in the right way. We also know that there are going to be good provisions like extending income tax exemption to folks who serve this state and this country in the National Guard, and it is, of course, REC Day on the Hill, and so I think a lot of us have heard about some of the good things that this bill is going to do for our friends at the RECs. But, Mr. President, I rise in opposition to this bill today because this is a bill that is going to continue to cut taxes for large organizations that can afford to pay, that are critically important to funding this state. This state is continuing to face enormous issues for our workforce. The Reynolds workforce crisis is ravaging literally every industry in the state, but the solution to our workforce challenges is not another tax cut for banks, for insurance companies at this time. What we need to do is to make sure that we are investing in our people, that we're fully providing them with fully funded public schools, that we're making sure that we're fixing Iowa's broken child care system, and that we're making sure that we have affordable housing for every person in this state. We know that we're facing shortages of workers in literally every industry, and this bill is not the solution. I'm also concerned about the impact that we're going to have as we continue to raise taxes on small businesses that depend on using software and computers at a time where that's an important part of doing business in this state. I understand that there is this belief that this is not going to affect organizations in a meaningful way, but when you're not making a distinction between a large organization and a small business, I've got concerns about the impact that this is going to have. So, Mr. President, I would urge the body to reject Senate File 2372. Thank you, Mr. President.
Chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Selsey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dawson, would you yield?
Senator Dawson, would you yield?
Yes.
Senator Selsey, you're in order.
I just wondered about a small provision of the bill, which deals with YSS, Youth Shelter Services. It appears to be an earmark for that organization. And I noticed in doing a little research that Governor Reynolds is good friends with the CEO of YSS. So I wondered if this is gonna be normal going forward, that when someone needs help in our state, if they need funding, are they gonna have to be BFFs with the governor to get any money?
I'm going to be as professional and respectable as I can in this reply, Senator from Polk. Oh, things I want to say. This provision did not come from the governor's office. It came from a couple House members who are looking at a couple projects in their district. The YSS is a nonprofit, and like, say, for Habitat for Humanity, that does not pay sales tax on their construction materials. This, a couple of these projects around, they're going across Iowa. The YSS, as you mentioned there, is having to pay sales tax on their construction materials. This provision, it makes sense if we're going to try to maybe start to get pathways. You see here for the county fairs, how we have that provision in as well on some of their building materials there. We're trying to differentiate what a profit versus a nonprofit is. And when these groups are receiving donations, because that's how they thrive off of, right? A lot of nonprofits are donations and services. Then we have to ask ourselves, does it make sense for them to eat up some of those donations on material sales tax? That is where this comes from, and that is all I'm going to dignify the question that you asked here, Senator from Polk.
Thank you very much. And I'm really glad, actually, that the money is going to youth shelter and services, because they provide services to LGBTQ youth who are being punched down on by Republicans and Governor Reynolds. Thank you, Mr. President.
Seeing no further discussion, Chair recognizes the Senator from Pottawatomie, Senator Dawson, for final remarks on Senate File 2372.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the Senate, as I stated in my earlier opening comments, this is part two of a larger tax reform the Senate is trying to push forward. We will pick up part three tomorrow morning in a subcommittee, but I would, I think it was mentioned earlier on, small business versus large business. I would just remind the body here, not that anyone needs to be reminded, but a few, I'm not sure what the date is now, probably about three weeks ago now, we passed the largest tax cut in Iowa history, where the small businesses, the pass-throughs, the LLCs, the sub-S's are the ones who receive the greatest tax cut in there. If you look at holistically what we've done from 2018 to where we're going in 2026, we will be taking their top rate from 8.9 down to 3.9%. I would agree this comes out clunky when we do it two different bills, the pay-fors versus the tax cuts, but overall, I would say that what we have done, I would bet the house that what we have done for Iowans has had greater impact for the small businesses than we have done for the large. So with that, Mr. President, I would move Senate File 2372 as amended be read for the final time and placed on its passage.
Senator from Pottawatomie moves that Senate File 2372 as amended be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Those in favor of the motion say aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Secretary will read.
The body voted to amend the bill title by removing certain words. That amended bill title now reads as follows. Senate File 2372, a bill for enacting the State Taxation Administration by modifying sales, use tax, individual corporate income taxes, as the franchise tax, insurance premium tax, including effective date, applicability, and retroactive applicable provisions being enacted by the General Assembly, State of Iowa.
Senator from Pottawatomie moves that the reading thus far be considered last reading of the bill. Those in favor of the motion say aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Is the title agreed to? The title is agreed to. The question now, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of the passage of Senate File 2372 as amended will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Secretary, open the voting system and receive your vote. Senator Dickey votes aye. Senator Edler votes aye. Senator Bolton votes aye. The senator from Lynn, Senator Taylor, votes aye. Senator Whitver votes aye. Senator Sinclair votes aye. Has every senator voted? Every senator has voted. Secretary, close voting system. Secretary, lock voting system and record votes. Senator, pay attention to the result of the roll call. Those voting aye, 43. Those voting no, 6. The bill, having received the constitutional majority, is declared to have passed Senate and title was agreed to. Chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitver.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent to immediately message Senate File 2372.
The senator from Polk, Senator Whitver, asks unanimous consent to immediately message Senate File 2372. Hearing no objection, so ordered. We're now at that point of the day for points of personal privilege. Do any senators seek the floor? Chair recognizes the senator from Blackhawk, Senator Dotzler.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, for reserving this time for me. What I want to talk about today is a little bit about the workforce crisis in Iowa. And I'm just hopeful that I know how tough it is to be in the majority. You get pulled from a lot of different directions. And, a lot of times it's difficult to come up with resources that you need in order to accomplish what your goals are. But I don't think there's anything more important than trying to help solve some of our workforce crisis. And I had an opportunity this last weekend and earlier in the week to talk to somebody who's an expert in dealing with child care. And they were telling me that we don't need more child care centers, we need more workers for the child care centers because we're losing child care centers every day because of the shortage of workers. And I know that when we listen to, and I talked a little bit about it last week, and I know a lot of people weren't paying attention, but I hope you would pay attention to this again, is the fact that every major economic development organization is putting the child care, not necessarily just child care, but the workforce issue is number one issue. And I want to remind the body that it wasn't that many years ago we had the largest tax cut in the history of Iowa, never before done. Senator Veenstra ran the bill. I heard about all the great things it was going to do, and I think our economy did have a little boost out of it. But the workforce situation got worse, not better. Now, I was reminded, last week about something that occurred when I was on the state workforce board a long time ago. There was a state economist under Governor Branstad called Harvey Singelman. And Harvey, after he retired, was able to go around and speak about the state's economy. And he told us about something he called the Red Queen Principle. And I was going like, what's that? And he said, well, when Alice went into Wonderland and was down the rabbit hole, they were standing alongside the Red Queen, and all the people were running the cards, were running around, and nobody was sitting still. And Alice asked the Queen, why is everybody running? And the Queen responded, because in this place, it takes all the running you can do to stay in the same place. And that's where we failed. We haven't been working on the number one issue. We were going along with our budgets, status quo. The community attraction and tourism budget, $5 million a year forever. And what's happening? Our rural communities are not being able to keep up and do the things that they need to make their communities better and to keep the young people there. Des Moines is doing wonderful. Look what we got, a world-class roller skate park that brought people from everywhere. Now they're building a whitewater course throughout their community. Where are they getting the resources? Well, they got major corporations here in Des Moines. How many of your rural towns got major corporations that can afford to help subsidize these things? I don't think you do. Even the medium-sized communities don't have the resources. And now that we had issues with the backfill, our communities, like my community, Black Hawk, and the Cedar Valley, didn't have the resources that they could have helped subsidize maybe a possible community attraction tourism grant, which is only $5 million when there's literally tens of millions of dollars worth of requests out there. I know. I sit on the Enhance Iowa board, and I go through all those. Your communities need those resources. So we had a gift. We had a gift. This year's budget that we're in currently now has $100 million to work with. Ending balance money that wasn't in your plan. You know, tax plans passed. It's out there. We accept that. But now you've got some resources you could do something with to help this workforce shortage. And putting all your eggs in one basket isn't a good idea. Matter of fact, it's a foul idea. And Senator Kreinbrink, that's a lame joke for your behalf because you said I'd try to interject some humor. I didn't hear a laugh about it, but, you know, certainly is. There is more to economic development than one thing. One, you got to have, two, you got to have good education system. People look at that. You got to have a community where people enjoy living in. And what I said before about quality of life initiatives, they call it placemaking or community enhancement, you name it. It's all about the same thing. It's investing in your communities, giving the communities the support that they need to put with the resources they can put together to make their communities more attractive, whether it's some type of a gymnasium, community center, something in their community, river walks, amphitheaters, the kind of stuff that people can have festivals in and enjoy, and young people feel like they got a place that they can relate to instead of packing up in rural Iowa and moving to Des Moines where they got it all. So let's not get out of this session without investing in the type of things that every developer in the state is talking about. And every business is talking about it. We're losing people. We're losing them. They're leaving Iowa. Let's stop some of the controversial stuff and let's start talking about positive things. Now, Senator Coker, you got the economic development budget, which I had for 10 years. We also got to talk about our state in a positive way to counteract all this negative stuff that's out there. We need to enhance the tourism budgets. We need to invest in the community attraction and tourism program. We've already got boards set up in the Enhance Iowa program. Put $50 million in there for the next few years. We got and add to what is out there for an opportunity. It isn't senators picking where it's going to do it. You got a non-partial board that's made up of more Republicans and independents than Democrats, and they're the ones that are really deciding on where this stuff's going to go and what's the best use of our money. Let's do this. We have to. We are going down a path without doing something and doing all the running we can do. It's only going to get worse and worse. We got a low birth rate. We've got large numbers of baby boomers retiring and leaving the workplace. We've got single family workers that are having a difficult time finding childcare, and mixed both parents trying to work and take care of their children. The thing about letting 16-year-olds or minors work in a childcare, well, that helps, but what about when they're in school? That's when everybody else is working. We've got to do something. So tomorrow, when I get up and announce that I'm going to make a point later in the day, I'm going to give you a couple ideas of things we can do to help with our workforce right now. So let's do something. Let's be proud senators and work together on these issues for our community. We've got to do it. I wouldn't want to be you to go back and face my community and said, I ignored every one of your thoughts. Please, let's be a Senate and work together and accomplish something on our number one problem. Thank you, Mr. President.
Seeing no further senators seeking the floor, Chair recognizes the Senator from Polk, Senator Whitver.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate adjourn until Wednesday, March 23rd at 9 a.m.
You've all heard the motion of the Senator from Polk, Senator Whitver. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Senate will be adjourned until Wednesday, March 23rd at 9 a.m.